months before they got a verdict. So that could mean another year in prison for them. There are a couple other options. There's been a recent law passed that says that foreigners can be deported if they're accused or convicted of a crime. Now, that would only apply to Peter Greste and Mohamed Fahmy if he renounces his citizenship. And the other option is a presidential pardon, but that is something that would only happen after the proceedings are completely finished.
Leila, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
That's NPR's Leila Fadel in Cairo. This is NPR News.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA.
And here you have a guy, because of his political beliefs, in prison for 32 years. It's crazy.
Pushing boundaries in politics and music with Residente of Calle 13. Take a listen to some of our favorite stories from the past year featuring Puerto Rico and its people, both on and off the island. That's this week on Latino USA.
Saturday evenings at 8 on AM 580.
Tonight at 7 on the evening concert on WILL FM 90.9. It's the New York Philharmonic this week. The Philharmonic is joined by the New York choral artists, soprano Leila Clare, bassist Alistair Miles, and other vocal soloists in a performance of Handel's Messiah. That's Handel's Messiah on the New York Philharmonic this week, tonight at 7, on the evening concert on WILL FM 90.9.
Our planet is vast and glorious, full of natural marvels and intriguing wildlife. It's also full of challenges and ecosystems under threat. At Living on Earth, we try to reflect both the splendor and the dangers. We probe the science and study the solutions. And we hope you'll come along for the ride to learn what's happening and how it might affect you. So tune in right here to see what we have to offer. I'm Steve Kerwin. That's this week and every week on Living on Earth.
Saturday night at 7 on AM 580.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. This next story from my colleague David Green is about pastries, which may make you wonder why we're playing this music.
It's because we're with a chef and punk rocker named Brooks Headley.
So as we're coming into the kitchen, Brooks, I got to ask you about your other job. You are a musician and were in punk bands for years.
Music. It's still something I do. I'm actually like in three different bands right now. None of them are... There's no attempt to, like, actually, like, even make a dime.
His day job is as the head pastry chef at one of New York City's premier Italian restaurants, Del Posto. We met him to cook a few recipes from his new cookbook, and I actually thought we'd be blaring some music while we were baking, but,
No, actually, like, if I listen to music while I'm working, while I'm cooking, I get horribly distracted. I guess even though I say that I don't like to listen to music, like, music is always kind of, like, going through my head. Like, I have a few different songs that kind of get stuck in my head while I'm working that, like, I sort of hum to myself, like Warrior in Woolworths by the X-Ray Specs.
Okay.
And also, and this is, I don't know why this gets stuck in my head, but the theme song to the first Police Academy movie. Right, like, it's if it's super stressful and things are kind of, like, going off the rails, I'm not really sure why that gets stuck in my head.
You might wonder how exactly Brooks Headley has found success in the pastry kitchen. Well, the truth is, he keeps it simple. He says he doesn't want to be a pastry chef so obsessed with presentation that the conversation at the dinner table stops when the dessert arrives.
And you have this wonderful phrase in the book that simple food is an act of defiance. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like a reaction to a lot of the really, really super fancy fine dining desserts. A lot of times pastry chefs have this need to make things overly complicated. For me, like, I like to be perceived as kind of like an Italian grandma. And to me, that's the ultimate compliment. Like, a lot of times, like, cooks or chefs want to be considered kind of like scientists, especially for dessert, because it can be kind of like an exacting thing. But for me, I like to kind of like cook from the gut.
But cooking from the gut, that's an Italian grandmother thing.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, your Italian grandma, she doesn't, like... There's no scales. There might not even be a knife. She's just, like, kind of tearing stuff up with her hands, and she kind of knows what she's going to do, maybe just from, you know, years of experience.
And that's the thing about his baking. If you use the right fresh ingredients, follow his instructions carefully, and harness the Italian grandmother inside you, you can pull off his recipes in your own kitchen and make stuff that tastes like it could be in a fancy restaurant. His cookbook is called Fancy Desserts, but it doesn't feel like you're making anything that fancy, like his grilled lemon pound cake with lemon glaze, which we wanted to try. First ingredient, that other song he plays in his head, Warrior in Woolworths. Great, okay, let's get started. Step one, mix traditional cake batter ingredients with some zest.
Lemon and orange, because there's so much flavor in the skin. And you want to kind of get all of the yellow stuff.
All right, add to that almond paste, sugar, some butter, egg, and vanilla.
Sugar. It's going to kind of like grind everything together. It's almost like the sugar is exfoliating the oils out of both the zest of the citrus.
And finally add some dry ingredients, pour it all into a cake pan, and send it into the oven for 20 or 25 minutes.
Yeah, so the cake's all finished.
It looks fantastic.
It's beautiful. It's like nice and caramelized on top.
Yeah.
And we're going to soak it then. We're going to mix our lemon juice and our orange juice and kind of poke holes in it with a toothpick and like let that syrup soak into it. So
that's just what I was thinking.
It's just going to add another level of like delicious citrusiness to it. You know?
Uh-huh. That sounds great.
Now to polish this off, toss slices of the cake onto a grill for a few seconds. Add some persimmons that were slow roasted in honey and serve. Now, Brooks never went to culinary school. In 1999, one of his bands broke up, and he wrote a letter to a Washington, D.C. chef talking about what he had learned from, you guessed it, his Italian grandma.
I think I just wrote about, like, cooking with my family. And, like, I mean, I made potato gnocchi with my grandmother all the time. And, you know, she would, like, talk to me about the elasticity and the texture of the dough or something. And I guess I mentioned that, which is funny because that's something that, of course, is really important, like that the feel of the dough when you're cooking.
Those years cooking with Grandma shaped Brooks Headley's philosophy in the kitchen. And maybe his boss summed him up best. The executive chef at Del Posto in New York says Brooks isn't about showing off how creative he is. His food just expresses soul. And that food can be so simple. There's this dessert he makes that could be perfect as a final taste of the holidays before you begin that New Year's diet. It's a chocolate tree. All you need is some high-quality chocolate and ice. You temper the chocolate. That means heating it, cooling it. Don't worry, it's at our website, npr.org, and I promise it's not that hard. You end up with this liquidy chocolate that you pour over ice. Let it cool and...
Very gently pull out of the ice.
Oh, it seems like you're about to do surgery.
Yeah, sort of. Like it's like operation.
Don't break the chocolate.
Oops, that's okay. And you can see, like, you can make all sorts of different shapes.
So what he pulls from the ice is something that looks like a branch made of chocolate. We decorated ours with chunks of leftover candy cane, but you can get creative.
Now, how do you normally decorate this tree?
Normally, like I would have other chocolate confections, I guess, kind of like sticking in the like crevices and nooks. In this case, like we'll use it and we'll just kind of put these candy cane. Makes it super like weird and craggy and organic, you know. So,
all right, well, we got this. That looks beautiful. Can we taste this together?
Sure. Yeah, you can just like kind of like. The idea is you just, like, rip off some chocolate and then, in this case, like, kind of smash it in with the peppermint chunks.
Wow, this is cool.
So, yeah, I mean, really basically, good. this is sort of perfect because we're using, like, you know, Tuscan chocolate mixed with super American candy cane chunks, which is...
Mm-hmm. Which is mashing it all together.
Which is totally my jam, man.
That's David talking with pastry chef Brooks Headley, whose new cookbook is Fancy Desserts. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.
Good morning. The new year begins without a resolution to a big argument of 2014. It's over who gets to set the rules for a quarantine in case of Ebola. More on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Would-be demonstrators in Cuba spent part of this week in detention. They tested the limits of free speech and found them. We'll ask what it means for a country that just restored normal relations with the U.S. We also meet one of the thousands of kids attending schools run by the Pentagon. And many people complain about the pay of CEOs, but cutting their pay turns out to be tough. It's Thursday, January 1st, the day in 1953 that a car stopped in Oak Hill, West Virginia. Hank Williams, riding in the back seat, was found dead there at the age of 29. The news is next.